Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Right there, that was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. And we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here with my my man, who is Scott Free. He's Scott Free, the captain, Jack.
Free
Barry.
At last. Free
Jack,
at
I
last.
Feel like, I feel like what has transpired over the past couple weeks that we have alluded to now has basically come to an end. We have so much to cover in this episode, but yeah. I feel like you have to give our people, like, give us the
Cliff Notes version.
Give us the, like, 45 second to 1 minute. Like synopsis of what happened,
yeah,
and where we're at, and then we can get going, because I know people have, like, you did a little space on Twitter.
I did a little social media campaigning. Yeah, July 1st, came back home from work. U.S. Marshals banged on my door, arrested me for warrants out of Multnomah County, Portland. My wife and my son saw me get arrested. Went to jail for 2 days. Food was terrible. Crazy experience. Got arraigned. Got bail taken care of. Got out. Been fighting. Found out what they charged me with. It was a guy who looked like me, who I think stole my ID in a break-in that happened in October 13th of 2022.
Yeah.
And
which I think we actually referenced that break-in in one of our episodes.
Yeah. So that the passport card and my military ID that were stolen out of my vehicle at the time, the passport card was recovered at the crime scene, and I was public enemy number one, apparently, by the eyewitnesses. And mm-hmm. Had zero clue this was all happening. Zero clue. And how crazy this is. Got charges dismissed across the board. We can go forth with expungement of those off my record, but man, very disappointed in government agencies. I've talked to civil litigators. I've tried to get my case, but there's been no forward movement on the ball there. And so
at some bare minimum, some very, very shoddy police work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have been told this by retired police officers, current detectives that are nearby me, and a lot more other people. And
see what happens when you defund your police organ? You get stuff like this. Not to get political.
I think it's more of a lack of training.
Which takes money.
Honest.
Which takes money.
It takes money. So yes, it's very true. It's very true. Do not. So highly recommend people.
Yeah.
If you get a ID stolen out of your. This is a PSA moment. If you get your ID stolen out of your car, contact the police and bother them the heck out of them until you get a report filed and it's on the system.
Otherwise, you too might have nuts. U.S. Yeah. Marshals show up at your door and drag you away in front of your wife and children for a crime that you did not commit.
Bananas. Anyway.
That is the cliff notes. If you want to know in detail, we talk about it on the Patreon. You can reach out to Jack.
We might do it. We might do an overall cover episode this series.
We can do that. We can
nutso.
For sure. Yeah. So long couple weeks for Jack. Stressful couple weeks for me. Obviously not to the degree that Jack, but you know, you have your your friend and co-host.
You have Daniel's replacement.
I'm like, I'm
co-host.
Do I get a third co-host? Do I just let it die? I think at this point, you go through two of them. The Lord's trying to tell you something. But thankfully, we don't have to do that. But yeah.
So it was a really good Lord's Day this Sunday.
Oh, I bet. Freedom.
Really good. Really changes perspective on some things for me to how to minister to people. Sure. So that even helps as well too. But it was nuts. I am seeing a counselor starting Thursday, so we're getting the mentals covered as well too. Because
I'd just be angry, dude. I'd be like, I'm just angry.
it's frustrating. But anyway,
all right.
Josh, how was your Lord's Day before we get into it?
Lord's Day was great. Started our series in 2 Timothy. So I did the introduction for that, verses 1 through 7 of chapter 1. And I'm looking forward to the series. I really like the Timothy letters, and I'm really, really excited just to be preaching through that. I've got two other elders that are going to be helping as well. I'm excited. So nice. Always fun starting a new series. It feels new. Mm-hmm. It feels fresh. It's, gets the endorphins going for sure.
Gets the people going.
It does, man. It does. Yeah. Yep. Yep. So, Jack, we've got a lot of business to talk about before we even get to our ep. So we're going to try to rifle through these. Okay. First order of business. We have a new patron. Mm. Awesome, dude. We have yet another exclusive listener that decided to join the ranks of the Podluck, bequeath to us his $5 holla a month, and gain all of the rights thereunto that are now his by rights. And we are talking about patron, where's his name? There it is, Anthony Baker. Anthony, or I want to pronounce it Anthony. Anthony Baker.
Anthony.
Yeah. He has joined the patron. And, dude, we could not be happier. We could not be more pleased with Anthony right now.
True.
Anthony, we thank you for supporting the Reformatory. We thank you for believing in us. We thank you for all of the things. And we hope that the Patreon's worth it. We hope that you enjoy it. And, listeners, you can also join legendary listeners like Anthony and get all of that sweet exclusive content all to yourself. It's pretty awesome. It's $5 a month. That's all it is. It's pretty simple, pretty sweet, pretty cheap, and pretty cool. So Anthony, our pledge to you has been fulfilled. Your name, my friend, has been hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. Thank you and good night. Jack, next, I am so excited for this next announcement.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So this episode releases on July. It's the last day of July, July 31st. It's a Thursday. If you're listening to this as it releases, hold on, let me pull up my calendar. If you're listening to this as it releases tomorrow, Friday, August 1st, we have an amazing, amazing giveaway that we are doing in honor of our 300th episode of the Reformatory. Jack, by the time August comes around and we finish August, we are going to have 300 episodes of the Reformatory out in the interwebs. Before I get into this giveaway, give me just your quick reaction to that. 300 episodes. You know how many podcasts have come and go in the time that the Reformatory has been staying strong on the path?
True.
So yeah. Many. Mm-hmm. Dude, we are foraging on.
Even some forefathers in our podcast lineage.
We have seen the forefathers fall and go on into glory. And we are still reaping the benefits of said forefathers. But Jack, what gets me super excited about this giveaway is that it's not just the Reformatory. Mm-hmm. My friend, we are partnering with the Pactum podcast.
Pac-Man. And Pac-Man. Abendroth.
Broken Wharf Book Distributors.
OG.
You want some premium Reformed Baptist confessional material? Broken Wharf. Let me share my screen here, and we're going to go over really quick the rules of the episode. Jack, can you see this right here?
Yep.
Can you see this?
Yep.
300 episodes, baby. Mm-hmm. Partnering with the Pactum and Broken Wharf all of the month of August. And our giveaway here, let me get into here. Here's the prizes, Jack. All right. We at the Reformatory don't do anything half-hearted. We don't just have one winner. We've got two. Okay. And check out the prizes that we have for this giveaway. If you at all are a book snob, a theology nerd, an enjoyer of premium theological antiquity, you're going to want to get in on this giveaway. Mm-hmm. First prize, Jack, gets the 6-volume set of the works of Thomas Brooks. They get Green Pastures. They get The Active Obedience of Christ. All absolute bangers. And then our newly released Reformatory logo sweatshirt. Hopefully in the size. We'll reach out to the listener and make sure that they get the size that that they want. Jack, that's just first prize. Let's look at second prize.
Second prize is coconuts to me.
Second prize, like, here's the thing. Most giveaways, most podcasts, right, have, like, the best, right, as your first prize. And then here's some, like, piddly stuff for, you know, the peon that won second. Not us. Not the Reformatory. No. Second prize, I dare say, might be just as good as the first.
Oh, yeah.
And that you get Covenantal Theology from Adam to Christ by Nehemiah Cox. You get the London Baptist Confession of 1689, the explanation by our own Pat Abendroth. Mm-hmm. You get the Pactum release by Pat Abendroth, Covenant Theology, both absolute amazing books. And you also get some Reformatory merch. You get the Do Not Forsake Gathering sweatshirt, which is at this point by far our most popular release. People really enjoy these. So, Jack, I don't know about you, but at this point, if I'm listening, I'm thinking to myself, wow, how do I get in on this amazing giveaway goodness? Well, I am glad you asked. Here are the giveaway rules. First and foremost, going to be pretty standard if you have ever enrolled in these online social media giveaways before. There isn't anything new here, all right? Mm-hmm. You got to be following the Reformatory, Broken Wharf, and the Pactum on Twitter and Instagram, okay? We're going to run this on Twitter and Instagram. It's going to be both, okay? We'll probably take one winner from one winner from the other is most likely how we're going to do it, okay? So you got to be following us on the social in which you are engaging with the giveaway. Follow the Reformatory, follow Broken Wharf, and follow the Pactum, okay? Number two. You got to like and share the giveaway, dude. I mean, this is obvious. This is 101. Yeah. This is baseline. You got to like it, right? You got to give us the little heart, and you got to share it. If you're on Twitter, right, share it to your page, repost it, retweet it. If you're on Instagram, you got to share it to your story, right? We want as many people as possible to get in on this amazing, amazing opportunity that we have been blessed with by Broken Wharf and the Pactum. So you got to share it. You got to show us a little bit of love so that we can show you some love, all right? And third, you got to tag a friend. You got to tag a friend in the comments, all right? You got to reach out to the person that you think would love this stuff the most. And you got to tag them. You got to say, hey, dude, have you seen this amazing giveaway that the Reformatory is doing for their 300th episode with the Pactum and Broken Wharf? It's legendary, bro. You got to get in on this. And then that person tags somebody. And pretty soon we are just, we are taking over the Reformed Baptist social media for good. That's what we're doing. Okay. Those are the rules. The winner will be announced Friday, August 22nd. That is the day after our 300th episode of the Reformatory releases. Two winners will be announced via the socials. We will tag their social media handles on you know, the Twitter and the Instagram and things like that. Okay? So, Jack, at this point, you're probably thinking to yourself, how could this get any better? It's already the most amazing giveaway in the history of Reformed Baptist giveaways.
True.
Jack, yes. My friend.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
It gets better.
Oh, gosh.
For the entire month of August, our listeners have been given the promo code Reformatory to use at Broken Wharf for 10% off all orders. For the entire month of August, you go to Broken Wharf, you use the promo code Reformatory, and you get 10% off your order. Jack, that might be the best right there.
Yeah, that's pretty all right? choice.
We got to support
choice.
Support boutique. You know what Broken Wharf is? They're like a boutique cigar. They are like the small batch, like nothing but quality. All right. Local supports local. That's what we're doing here. The Reformatory. Use the promo code. Go buy stuff at Broken Wharf. Go buy their books. Go buy their swag. Go support them because they are putting out some premium, premium Reformed Baptist content.
OG. And OG.
Dude, so good.
Reformed Baptist.
So good. Yeah. All right. So, Jack, that's the news. Amazing. Cuckoo. All right, and all of this info is going to be up on all the socials as well. When this releases, it'll already be up. We're going to put it up at the beginning of August, so it'll already have been up a couple days. So go check Instagram, go check our Twitter. All this info is going to be up there. Make sure to get tagging, get liking, get sharing, and get in on this amazing giveaway because you do not want to miss it. This is some amazing stuff. Huge thank you to the Pactum and Broken Wharf for supporting the Reformatory, coming alongside us and making our 300th episode really, really special. So huge, huge shout out to both of them. We will be continuing to shout them out throughout all of August because they are both amazing. Jack, my dude, this episode is going to just be long. We're just going to have to be okay with it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to split this up into two. I hope you have a long... I hope you have like a long commute, something like that, because we still gotta get through the Instagrams, and we gotta talk about preaching. And you know your boy is not gonna skimp on talking about preaching.
True.
Not gonna happen. But Jack, let's continue on with our next and favorite segment. Don't forget to eat your Instagrams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams with your hosts, Josh Loftus and Jack Berry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
Welcome to Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams. Remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. That's how it works. So, Jack, I've got a couple of choice pieces of instant granules for you today, both kind of centering around what we're talking about today, the importance of preaching. All right. What we're going to see today is how not to engage with the Lord's Day service when it comes to inspiring people, informing people, encouraging and convicting people with the Word of God. Here's some ways not to do that.
Bring my heartfelt fit to hell.
Okay, so for those that can't see this because you're listening, Jack, will you describe to our listeners what you're watching here?
It looks like is it count the lead singer from the Counting Crows doing some sort of drama,
right?
Dramatization of whatever is going on right now. I don't know. He's just putting his hand over his heart and being like all weird about this stuff right now.
He is quote dancing for the Lord. He is doing an improvised spiritual dance to a song. But it sounds like Jelly Roll. I think it's that song he did with that Brandon Lake.
Oh my
idiot.
Gosh! Oh no!
Yeah, and the caption is: "This is 100% the best I've ever moved for the Lord," and he's just going after it. He's going after it. Right there, the woo! He's got the octopus wave. Arms going, dude.
Oh my gosh! What the heck,
dude? My man is moving. He's getting into it. If your church opens with this, leave. Just leave.
You'd be like, holy nope. Just shut the door. Nope.
Yeah, mm-mm. It's not going. Here's the newsflash. It's not going to get better. Okay? This is probably the highlight of this service. Okay? It's not going to get better.
Man.
Okay, Jack. Last one. Here we go. I don't even know. I'll be honest, dude. Oh, I almost didn't include this one.
Oh no.
And I'm still a little scared. I'm still a little scared, but I'm going to do it anyway. Okay. I would say that if this happened in the Lord's Day service, I don't know if I would get up and walk out because of how scared I would be to do so. You'll understand. Here we go. Okay.
Okay.
Just at the end of the day, don't preach like this. Okay. Just don't.
Noah landed, right? When Noah landed, they knew they had made it. They were safe. But I got to tell you something, right? If I was on that ark, there wouldn't have been no chicken. Yeah. Chicken would have been gone. Matter of fact, there were no black people on the ark because the chicken would have been gone, the pig would have been gone, the cow's been gone. God would have said, wait a minute, he's doing the count. Like, wait, where's the chickens? Yeah.
Okay, you think at this point, okay? At this point, it's not really getting a lot of laughs.
No.
Not landing the way that you want. Time to move on, right? Time to move on from the bit.
Oh no, he's gonna
beat this dead horse. It was funnier in the mirror this morning, right? Your wife laughed at it, probably in pity. You'd think at this point, let's move on from this bit, because it's really not landing, right? Do you think that's what he does?
He's beating this dead horse.
Oh, he's going to beat. Let's continue.
As a matter of fact, Jesus might have been a black man because he went to jail for something he didn't do.
Wait, does that mean you're black?
Wait, do you get
to be black now? Hold on.
Am I a Hebrew Israelite now?
Dude, you might be black, dude. Dude, you might be black according to this standard. Let's continue.
Technically, I am North African, apparently. So
that
got that going for me.
Might count. I don't know. I don't know the rules anymore. It's 2025. Who knows what the rules are? Okay. Last I heard, redheads are black. So at this point, dude, I've got no sense of anything. He's got a little bit left. Let's let Pastor finish.
He did. Here's another reason why. He lived with his mom till he was 33.
Dude.
And also, Jesus probably was a black man because Joseph wasn't his real dad.
Oh, man.
Wow.
He wasn't. The Heavenly Father is his real dad.
Wow. Okay, no.
I am a friend of God.
Oh, dude, this is so
the man on the just goes into singing.
This dude starts singing, I am a friend of God, after dropping all those bombs.
My man's like, let's continue in the song.
No. Baby, what is you doing?
Oh, I don't even know.
Dude,
there's so much that I want to say. I can't.
Wow.
What is happening?
Wow.
I don't know what he needed. He needs to work. He needs a workshop. He needs a group of guys. That's what this dude needs. He needs a group of guys that are going to say, okay, it's Friday night. Send us your notes. That's what this guy needs. Because that was absolutely insane.
Wow.
All right, Jack, that is a great example of what not to do on the Lord's Day when to encourage people in the Word. And what we are going to get into today is what we should be doing. So we are continuing in our liturgy series, and we have had a lot of great feedback from this. It's been really cool to see people encouraged by it. I've really enjoyed this series just because it's right up my theological alley. I really love nerding out over church polity and structure and liturgical services. I really like it. Right. So we have we've gone through a lot of different aspects of what makes up a liturgical service.
Yeah.
We've talked about why having a liturgical service is important, why liturgy is important, what it's for, who it's for, right? And today we are talking about pretty much all of the different aspects of liturgy that we have talked about up to this point center around and point to this aspect that we speak of today, and that is preaching of the word.
Mm-hmm.
So that the centerpiece of the Lord's Day service, the center focal point of any good and biblical liturgical service is the preaching of the word, right? I think there's a lot of focus in our culture today on things like music, right? Obviously things like dancing, right? And a lot of different aspects of the Lord's Day that are held above preaching the word of God. And that's just a reflection of kind of where our culture is at, in my opinion. There's more reasons for it. But in a true and biblical liturgical service, we hold, especially those of us in the Reformed tradition,
mm-hmm.
the preaching of God's word as the center and focal point of the Lord's Day. That is ultimately what we are here to engage with, mm-hmm. right? Preaching should be the central part of the Lord's Day, and everything is centered around that. Everything points to that, flows into that, and flows out of that. Mm-hmm. It should be what we gather for. Right. And it's not a bad thing to obviously enjoy the music at your church. Right. It's not a bad thing to enjoy the community and the fellowship. Right. Taking of the sacraments. Those are all good. Those are all absolutely good and biblical things that we should enjoy and that we should engage in. But according to Martin Lloyd-Jones, and mm-hmm. we're going to reference him a good amount here in his book, I think it's Preaching and Preachers, or Preachers and Preaching, one of those two. He says that the work of preaching is the highest and the greatest and the most glorious calling to which anyone can ever be called. When we talk about the importance of pastoral ministry, and we've talked about this before, is we've said a lot, and it was in regards to pushback against, I think, this idea that the pastor's job is only to preach, mm-hmm. right? We've pushed up against that because we don't believe that that's true. The pastoral position covers and encompasses much more than just preaching. However, preaching the word of God should be and is the primary focus of those that are in the leadership of the church. We proclaim the word of God to the people, right? And obviously, the most common and central way that happens is preaching the word on the Lord's Day. But proclaiming the word also looks like as you are counseling somebody, you're proclaiming the word of God to them, right?
Yep.
As you're in small groups, you're proclaiming the word of God in Bible studies and things mm-hmm. like that. Those fall under it, but for reasons of brevity and trying to keep things flowing, today we're talking specifically about preaching the word of God in the Lord's Day service, because that's kind of the flow of what this liturgical series has been. There's a great article that we're going to tag in the description of this episode by Founders. Founders put out a really great article on preaching, what it is, who it's for, the point of it. And I'm going to read an excerpt of that article here, and then Jack and I are going to get into some of the discussion. But this is what the article says. Excuse me. It says, according to Lloyd Jones, the man of God must faithfully preach in the pulpit during Sabbath worship. He is, quote, there to deliver the message of God, a message from God to those people. In the language of Paul, he is an ambassador for Christ. That is what he is. He has been sent, he is a commissioned person, and he is standing there as a mouthpiece of God and of Christ to address these people. Okay? I want to stop right there and talk about the importance. There's more to the article that I'll read. But I want to talk about the importance of having the focus as a pastor and as a preacher that your primary duty, mm-hmm. your primary constituency, if you will, mm-hmm. is the people within your local church.
Yeah.
And I think that flies in the face, Jack, of kind of the celebrity culture that we find ourselves in.
Yeah.
In which everywhere we go, we are encouraged and I would say, what's something stronger than encouraged? Almost forced, because of the way that it's designed, to live lives that promote self.
Yeah.
Right? And you're not seen as successful unless you have a large following. Mm-hmm. Or you have lots of book deals, or your clips from your sermons go viral. And it seems to me, Jack, and you can speak to this, it seems to me that the focus, by and large, in most American churches today, the focus of being a one church pastor, if you will, has been taken over by trying to get the viral clips and the large followings. Mm. And we've forgotten what it means to preach primarily to a specific people, and that's the people that God has placed under your care.
Yeah. I think we want to spread, quote-unquote, our message more than trying to witness to and to minister to people in our local congregation more, because it's just a way. I was thinking about this during my whole ordeal, not to bring this up again. But if you're thinking about the justice system, it's kind of just like the conviction. Like if we're measuring success, it's that we get more convictions and stuff like that. Right. Or at least on the outside, people are measuring success to a certain DA's office as convictions and everything like that. Mm. And to the pastor, well, if I just keep spreading this message and I get more clicks and more likes, it's the constant thing that we've been talking about, but it's the fact that this insidious thing called business and business practices, and the more clicks, the more money, the more likes, everything like that, the more money, the grifting, like that's not going to help you.
Right.
That's not going to help your soul.
Right.
Sometimes you have to sever ties with social media. I've seen a lot of pastors, actually my pastors, sever most of their social media because they're done with it.
Sure.
They would forsake their social media and their standing out there in the world in order to minister to their people in the local church. So
sure. Yeah. And that's a great thing to do. You know, if that's how you feel like the Lord wants you to focus more on your people, then absolutely, right? And I applaud that. I think there needs to be a greater focus these days within the churches on equipping the people of the local church, and not simply trying to, like we said, have those viral moments to bring more people in, right? There's nothing wrong with wanting your church to grow, right? That's not a bad thing. But again, what is the local church for? What is the Lord's Day service for? It's for the people of God, right? Yeah. We've covered this. It's for the worship of God and the edification of his people, right? And that is a focus that is often lost. I'm going to continue in this article here. It says preaching is making the connection between God and his people through his word. I really like that. It says preaching is a transaction between the pastor and the congregation. It's a proclamation of the whole counsel of God to the whole person listening. The preacher deals with the whole person, as Lloyd Jones teaches, and his preaching is designed to influence and affect the whole person at the very center of life. Lloyd Jones says this. He says, it does something for the soul of man, for the whole of the person, the entire man. It deals with him in a vital and radical manner. Mm. And this is something that I think is important to talk about too, that as we preach, those of us who have been given the task of preaching, whether you are the full-time preacher, whether you're a part-time preacher, whether you get the opportunity to do it once in a blue moon.
You get a
rep. Exactly. You get some reps, right? Right. This is very important to understand. And I think it's important to talk about, because in the circles that we run in, the very conservative reform circles, we have such a visceral reaction whenever the things like emotion come up. Mm-hmm. Right? Because we're taught, don't trust your emotions, right? Emotions are fickle. Emotions do not point to truth. They are rooted in a heart that is desperately wicked that no one can understand, right? And look, all of those things are true. However, I think what's very important to understand is that something that we should be seeking to do in our preaching is not simply to just inform the mind.
Yeah.
Right? But reach and touch the heart.
Mm-hmm.
The preaching of the Word of God should instill emotion in those that hear it, right? Now, that is not the purpose of preaching, right? I think we see that a lot in our culture today, where things will, you know, they will basically set the stage to be emotionally manipulated with the music and the lights and the preaching and like how it's done and all these things. It's meant obviously to elicit an emotional response.
Mm-hmm.
That should not be the point or the purpose or the intention of preaching.
Yeah.
But we are emotional creatures.
True.
We have been given emotions by God. Yes, yeah. they are fickle and they do not often point to truth. But sometimes they do.
Yep.
Sometimes when I hear the good news of the gospel, my emotions are engaged. Mm-hmm. And I feel the emotion. I feel the weight of sin. But then I feel the joy that comes from the understanding that Christ, my Savior, has covered those sins and he has saved me. Right? So when we preach, it's very important. And something that I often say if I'm, you know, talking to somebody that's kind of new into preaching is, I always try to preach with the emotion that I want the truth I am preaching to be received with. So if I'm preaching about sin, I want my emotions and my caricature, if you will, I want that to reflect that truth. This is a bad thing, and you should see it in my face. You should see it in my mannerisms. You should hear it in my voice, right? Because preaching is a skill. It is. We don't just get up there and you know, humdrum, drone on, read words, and then sit down. Preaching is meant to engage the heart and the mind. It should capture the whole person, as Martin Lloyd-Jones says, right? And that's done by understanding how to do that effectively, right? And there is a way to do that without being manipulative.
Yeah.
And that's what the preacher should seek to do. So if I'm preaching about sin, I'm preaching about God's wrath towards sin or the sacrifice that it took Christ to pay for that sin, I want them to see it. I want them to hear it. I want them to know it, but I want them to feel it. Feel the weight of your sin. Hear the weight of that in my voice. But if I'm preaching about the wonders of heaven and the great hope that lies in every one of our futures, those that are in Christ, the great hope that is there, I want them to hear that as well.
Yeah.
And I want to stir the emotions and the longing for heaven, right? So we have to be careful as reform folk not to go so far, not to pendulum swing, not to go so far on one end, because we want to avoid being accused of being a charismatic, right? Yeah. We want to avoid the strange fire, right? But we go too far on the other end and we become clinical. We become academic.
Yeah.
And we lose the heart of preaching.
Yeah. I go to these Charles Simeon Trust workshops where we talk about preaching. Yeah. And our last one, I think, was the best out of three that I've been to so far. And one comment by one of the teachers was, in your preaching, don't be a museum guide to the Bible.
That's a really great way to put it.
Don't just show people.
I know exactly what he means by that. That's awesome.
Don't just you know, commentate on it.
Yeah.
There is a message, and Charles Simeon Trust knows how to do this, by looking at the context of the passage that you're in, mm-hmm. Looking at the structure first, then looking mm-hmm. at the context, both biblical, theological, historical, everything. And then out of that, what is the author leading you to? Mm. What is the main point that the author is leading you to?
Yeah.
How then are you, as the preacher, going to take that main point and then apply it to your people?
Mm-hmm.
Then how are you going to structure your sermon based off that?
That's great.
Yeah. So those are main thing, and it's a square
yep.
that they go through. It's some really good stuff. If you want more info, highly recommend Charles Simeon Trust resources and guides, and they have certain little classes that you can take
yeah.
to start that journey, because that's what your people need.
Yep.
Your people don't need museum tour guides to just say, to just start preaching on a passage and then start walking around the museum of the Bible and then start talking about other things. No, right. no. Stay with me. You right. got to stay in there.
Yeah.
Stay in the context, the chapter, mm-hmm. the chapters around and after, maybe
yeah.
of the verse that you're in, the book that you're in, the author who's written this book with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Like all those things combined are needed for your people to understand what's going on to help them in their Christian life.
Yes.
So, yeah, those are really important things when I think about the word, and not only the word, but then it doesn't mean that you need to be emotionless.
Right.
During your preaching exactly. time either. Some guys, we did it in Isaiah this last go around with Charles Simeon Trust. And there were some great, I think probably some really good 30-minute sermons, some really hard texts.
Yeah.
And I saw some guys that I thought were kind of meh at first when they were preaching.
Yep.
And they've really started to develop more and more in their preaching just because yeah. of that growth and development and prayer, not only by their congregation, but also through this, you know, resource and workshop that we get to do that.
Yeah.
We're trying to equip people, but anyway,
yeah,
that's very important.
It is.
It's also very important that your people are biblically literate.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Any way possible that you can get a biblical theology, help your people understand biblical theology,
right?
Help to understand that the Bible is not just this segmented off section called the Old and New Testament,
mm-hmm.
but it is a continuous line of story
yeah.
that you're seeing God in all of it. And also that it was God's plan from the beginning that the Messiah would come mm-hmm. in the way that he did to the yep. people that he did.
Yep.
And the way that he redeemed them through the cross. Like it's been yeah. there the entire time, like
whole time.
follow that through line in there.
Right.
That is going to help your people immensely.
Yes.
Because if they don't understand their Bible,
yeah.
if they don't understand, you know, what's gone on in the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible, mm-hmm. they're not going to understand the Joshua and the Judges
no.
and the Kings. No. And all those other passages in the Old Testament. And then on top of that, they're definitely not going to understand the New Testament when the apostles are starting to reveal the actual meaning behind those things that happened right. in the Old Testament. So,
yeah. And dude, that segues perfectly into kind of our next kind of what we're going to talk about next is that is what is it that preaching accomplishes, right? Why is it important that we hold the word of God and the preaching of it in the centerpiece that we do within the Lord's Day service? Why do we do that? Well, there's many reasons. We've narrowed it down to three really important ones that we have found beneficial to focus on. And the first one, Jack was just talking about, right? Good biblical preaching, number one, it informs the church, right? we are living in a day and age where Christians are biblically illiterate. Mm-hmm. We don't know our Bibles. We don't know Genesis from Revelation. We don't understand how to look at the gospel narrative, the redemption arc of all of Scripture. We don't know how to look in the Old Testament and look for Christ. We don't know how to apply the pastoral epistles to our lives and to our churches because there has been such a lack of biblical preaching within mainly America. I mean, it is throughout the world, but America, I think, is at the top of that list because so many other things have taken priority, right? Mm-hmm. But good biblical preaching on the Lord's Day, it informs the church. People must know the word, so the word must be preached. You want to have biblically literate people within your church, preach the word. Preach it. Cover to cover, verse by verse. Explain to them what the word of God means, right? Inform their hearts and inform their minds about the importance of Scripture, right? We must be preaching the entire word of God, the entire counsel of God, the whole counsel of God must be preached. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all Scripture is breathed out by God. That means it's authoritative. That means it's inerrant. That means it's sufficient. We should be preaching this. Why? Because it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That what? Is that just for the head, right? Is that just that we can be filled with all this knowledge and be able to answer all of the questions? No, it's so that the man of God might be complete and equipped for every good work. Mm-hmm. Right? When we preach the word to our congregation, we are informing them of what the word of God says. We are informing their minds. We are informing their hearts. And that in turn is taken by the Holy Spirit and produces good works in us. We have to preach the word of God because the word of God is paramount and is the only thing that brings change. It brings change to the heart. It brings change to the mind. It brings change to the church and to the culture. So we must inform the church on this is what the word of God says. This is why we preach the word of God. Okay. Second, it confronts the church. Preaching the word of God confronts the church. People must know and understand that they are to submit to the word of God, that the word of God is authoritative, that they don't get to take the word of God and place it kind of in the same category as they would, like, you know, some sort of scientific journal. Like, well, I'm sure it's got some good stuff, but my personal opinion says this, so I'm going to go this way. We don't get that luxury with the word of God. If 2 Timothy 3:16 is true and all scripture is breathed out by God, which it is, that means that scripture is the boss and you are not. Mm-hmm. That means that that stupid bumper sticker where it says God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That should that you got to take that middle part out. God said it. That settles it. Mm-hmm. Whether you believe it or not, whether you agree to it or not, it's still in charge. And we need to know that the word of God has authority over our lives. Jack, you want to read Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 for us, my man.
Yeah. So this is in the ESV. So let us, starting verse 11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
Whew. Man, that sounds like accountability to me.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like the word of God, breathed out by the word of God, is authoritative and something that we must preach.
Yeah.
Because every single person in our local church, including the person that's preaching it, needs to be convicted and confronted with the word of God. Our sin needs to be rooted out. It needs to be brought to light. And the preaching, the consistent preaching of the word of God is what does that. Mm-hmm. It convicts the soul and it brings to mind the ways that we have fallen short and the ways that we need to step into the righteousness of Christ, right? And rely on him and follow him. It's very, very important.
Yeah.
All right. Last one. Good biblical preaching points the church to Christ. I think this is the one that I get, I think, most fired up about, because you listen to a lot of preaching today, it's very Christless.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think it falls on the spectrum of kind of one or two things. And Jack, you can tell me if you think if I'm right on this.
Okay.
What I have found is it either falls on the grossly self-help side, therapeutic self-help. Jesus is your battle buddy. Everything's going to be okay, right? Just make sure that you love yourself enough and forgive yourself. That's the one side.
Yeah.
All the way to the other side, where it's extreme fundamentalism. Mm. And you must fear the wrath of God unless you are doing this and this and this and this and this. And your righteousness is, yes, found in the person of Christ, but in practical sense, in application, your righteousness is found in how hard you strive and how hard you work. Those are the two extremes that I have found so much preaching, specifically here in the United States.
Yeah. No, I think that's true. I mean, it's a constant pendulum horseshoe dynamic that happens.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
The point of preaching is to point the listener to the Word of God and the gospel. Mm-hmm. The point of preaching is to reveal Christ in wherever you are in the Word of God. The gospel must go out from preaching. And if Christ and his gospel are not the centerpiece of your sermon, you have to go back to the drawing board. And that's a piece of advice that I am so glad I was given early on in my pastoral ministry. And that's one of the main pieces of advice I give new preachers as well.
Yeah.
Is your job Sunday morning is to take the passage of scripture, wherever you are, right? And you're ultimate goal is to ask yourself, where is Christ in these words? Where is the gospel? Mm. How am I pulling Christ out of these things? Because otherwise, what will inevitably happen, if we are not seeking to pull Christ out, you will infuse yourself in. Mm. That's ultimately what happens. So yeah. We need to make sure that our goal is set correctly. Jack, read for us 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5.
Yeah, so I'm going to read from the CSB, also known as the Cleveland Street Bible.
Ooh.
it's not actually called that, but I like to call it that. So this is Paul saying, When I came to you, brothers and sisters, announcing the mystery of God to you, I did not come with brilliance of speech or wisdom. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Mm. I came to you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not be based on human wisdom, but on God's power.
I love that. I love that. Too many, and I am definitely in this when I was first preaching, definitely in this tribe. Too many young preachers try to show off their wordsmith mentality, their prowess, their theological training or understanding in their sermon.
Yeah.
Instead of giving the sheep what they need, and that is the gospel, mm-hmm. right? Too many sermons that would have been great and fantastic were shipwrecked on the rocks of someone's, you know, trying to showcase their intellect,
yeah,
right, or their skill. That's not what the point of preaching is. The point of preaching isn't to showcase yourself. It's not to showcase the skills that God has given you. It's not to showcase your theological knowledge or understanding. It's not to showcase your education or your prep work.
Yeah.
The point of preaching is to equip the people of God through the proclamation of the gospel, pointing the people of God to Jesus wherever you are in Scripture. Right? One of my favorite Spurgeon quotes, I've said it before, is he asks the question, "No Christ in your sermon, sir." Mm. Then go home and never preach again until you have something worth preaching.
Mm-hmm.
I love that quote because it gives that such laser focusedness that the preacher is supposed to have when preaching the word of God. Where is Jesus in this passage? Right. And again, it's not that you don't engage with the text where the text is. Right. It's not that you don't say the hard things or, you know, if the Apostle Paul is talking about, you know, the qualifications for an elder. It doesn't mean that you don't preach that. But ultimately, overarchingly, what is the goal? It is to point people to Christ. It is to make manifest the glory of the gospel. And the skillful preacher is able to do that and should be able to do that wherever they are in the Word of God. That is the ultimate point of preaching. Jack, anything on that before we get into some practical tips?
Nope.
Okay.
We gotta let it be.
Gotta let it be. Let it be. Let it be.
Even though you hate that band, Josh.
Yeah, dude. Most overrated band in history. I don't care who hears it. You can throw all the hate at me if you want. The Beatles are the most overrated band in the world. They're just popular because they did it first. That's the only reason they're popular. Here I stand.
No other. I'm just going to say this. They ripped off the Beach Boys with Sgt. Pepper's.
Dude, the Beach Boys are better than the Beatles. 100% they are. Beach Boys are better than the Beatles. I said it. Come at me all you want. I don't care. Some practical tips, all right? Some things that maybe those who are possibly getting into preaching, some things to keep in mind. These are some tips that I wish I was given when I was first starting to preach. Because when I first started preaching, it was, oh goodness, it was a train wreck. I'm not at all saying that I'm some suave professional now, but it's better than it was. Let's just say that. Okay, the first tip, right, is this. Don't preach your prep. And what I mean by that is that things like when you're prepping a sermon, in order to do the text justice, right, you're getting into the authorial intent, you're getting into the historical context, you're getting into the original languages, right? We're going to pull out the truest meaning of this text, whatever it is, okay?
Yeah.
All of those things are very good and things that you should be doing in order to understand the text the way that we should be understanding. But that prep is not your sermon. Too many new guys, what I have found, will take that prep and turn it into the sermon. And pretty soon, the entire sermon is just a conglomeration of Greek, right, historical academic context, and quotes from commentaries.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the museum part that I was talking about.
Exactly. So. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? And again, all of those things are good to utilize, but that is not what your sermon should be full of. Mm-hmm. Those things inform your sermon. They are not your sermon.
Yeah.
Those things impact your sermon, but they are not your sermon.
Yeah.
Right? The sermon is meant to be a proclamation, a thus says the Lord to the people of God. Mm-hmm. Right? Again, showcasing the gospel.
Yeah.
Right? Ultimately, it's not supposed to be an academic exercise.
Yeah.
Full of you digging into the Greek and pulling out all the parsibles and the original language. And this is, here's 20 minutes on the historical context of this, right? That's not preaching. That's a class, right? And those have their place. Those can be very interesting and very informative and very beneficial for the Christian. But ultimately, that is not what the Lord's Day sermon is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. It's not a proclamation, right? So, your prep is not your sermon. Don't preach your prep. That'd be the first tip I have. Anything on that?
No, that's good. I mean, I will say this too.
Yes.
Don't prep for 20 hours a week on one sermon, please. Whatever you do.
That's another thing. Is
honestly,
there's debate with that too. These guys are saying like, oh, like I put 40 hours into my sermon. I'm like, really? Humbly,
you need to severely reduce that down. Listen, what I have been benefited by in City Trust.
We're gonna get in trouble here, dude. I can hear them knocking at our door right now.
Is the worksheets that Simeon Trust does.
Yeah.
Where it vastly, you should fill out and you should be able to get the bare bones outline of your sermon. Through a Simeon Trust worksheet, probably within at least an hour or two.
Okay. Yeah.
And that is not an honest, this is coming from a guy who doesn't preach a whole lot.
Sure.
People.
Sure.
And if you can do that, your ministry is going to be greatly increased by the fact that, yes, you can both study and preach the word and also help your people out in your congregation.
Yeah.
Because you are not there to be a professional Toastmaster. Okay.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. I will say this is obviously, as with any skill, it gets easier the more you do it.
Yeah.
When I first started preaching, my prep and the amount of time that I took prepping looked very different than it does now. Very different, right? What I will say is that, yeah, if your prep requires that the vast majority of your week is focused on the one sermon and you are not able to conduct other pastoral duties, I would humbly say that I think your prepping is wrong.
Yeah.
Something's going on in your prep that's causing it to take longer than it should. Right. Now, I'm not one of these guys who advocates like, okay, Saturday night, I'm just going to throw some notes on. And we're going to let the Spirit lead. No, don't do that. That's irresponsible.
Yeah.
Right. That's pastoral malpractice.
I will put the Charles Simeon Trust worksheet in the show notes.
Love that.
Y'all can have it. It's been honestly, it helps you go throughout your sermon
in a
strategic, at least the outline of it. You can get into the talking points and stuff like that in your manuscripts. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But at least getting the outline should take you maybe a couple hours, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with all that. I agree with all that. Right. If it's taking too long, it probably means that some training needs to happen there. And that's okay. Like we've all been there. I remember my sermons taking hours and hours and hours and hours and hours just because my prep was raw and I was young and it was wrong. Right. So there's a lot of great resources out there to help with that. Okay. That's the first one. We got to move on here. We're already at an hour. This is crazy. It's okay. Second practical tip, be yourself.
Yeah.
Preach from your own personality.
Yeah.
From your own thoughts, your own experiences. Something that a mistake that I fell into early on in preaching. Oh man. And I think back to the sermons and I can think of specific moments where I had not yet found my voice and I wanted to preach like the guys that had influenced me.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Right. So I would get up there and dude, same like phraseology, same like tone of voice, same emphasis on points, embarrassing. Right. Because these are the guys that had influenced my preaching. Right. And they meant a great deal to me. But you have to make sure that when you are preaching, you are not puppeting or cosplaying. That's a great way to put it. You're not cosplaying another preacher.
Yeah.
Right. There's multiple reasons for that. One, that it's fake.
Yeah.
You're not that person. You're not R.C. Sproul. Yeah. You're not John MacArthur. Yeah. You're not Paul Washer. You're not Vody Bachum. You're not Alistair Begg. Mm-hmm. Right? Dude, I wanted to be Alistair Begg so bad. So bad. Right? You're not John Piper.
You started doing the accent.
Yeah, too. Exactly. Turn in your Bibles. Right? No. Right? You're not any of those men. God has equipped those men specifically for what he has called them to do. You are you. And God has equipped you in the same way. Because he has called you to a specific people for a specific reason, because you have something there that the Lord is going to use for the good of that of those people, right? And if you are spending too much time trying to emulate or cosplay somebody else, you are not utilizing the gifts that God has given you, the experiences that he's given you, the personality that he's given you, that's going to connect with that local church much better than someone like Vody Bachum or John Piper or Alistair Begg.
Yeah.
Because they're not that church's pastor.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
So don't fall into the trap as you are prepping your sermon and you're preaching your sermon to try to channel Papa Sproul or channel Vody Bachum because, they've meant so much to me and they're such powerful speakers, right? Preach you the way that God has given you to preach with all your quirks, mm-hmm. and all of your talents, mm-hmm. with your mannerisms, with your tone of voice, with your inflections. Preach
yep.
you.
Yep.
Be natural. Give the people you. Don't give them a fake version or a cosplayed version of a pastor.
Yeah.
Right? Love God's people enough to be real.
Yeah.
And to give them yourself. Right? Mm-hmm. That's really important. Find your own voice is how else I would say it. Right?
Yeah.
Finally, right? And this one's really important. This is one that I've grown and honestly am still growing to understand the benefits of it. Is cover your sermon in prayer. Cover your preaching in prayer. Ask the Lord to help you in your prep, in your study, and in your delivery of the preaching.
Yeah.
Ask the Lord to help you to preach to the hearts and to the minds of your people, that he would take what you say and that he would bear fruit with it. Mm. Ask the Lord to give you the wisdom to be able to shepherd the people well, that they would receive it well, that you would deliver it not in a way that showcases yourself, but in a way that the Holy Spirit is speaking through you. Something that I every time I pray before my sermon, something that I make sure to say near the end before I preach is, Lord, help what comes out of my mouth this morning to be nothing of me and all of you in your spirit. Mm. Because I want to love my people enough to know that if I just try to give them me and my intellect and my wisdom, it's going to fall utterly short of what they need.
Yeah.
They need the word of God to be applied to their hearts through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So cover your prep, cover your preaching, the delivery and the application of it, cover it in prayer. You can't pray over your sermon enough. Mm. That's something that's so, so important and something that is often very neglected.
Yeah.
In the prep and in the delivery of a sermon is praying through it. That's extremely, extremely vital. So, Jack, anything on that? I feel like it's probably been a normal amount of time on the topic. We just had like bunch of business at the top.
We just had a front loading of stuff at the front.
We did.
There's a ton of resources. Like I said, I'm going to shoot Josh over the Charles Simeon Trust worksheet.
Yeah, do that.
I've worked off of.
We'll put that founder's article in the description as well.
It's helped out. Charles Simeon Trust has helped out immensely. Mm-hmm. If you go to their website, they actually have a First Foundations as well too, in which I think it's like maybe this is what I like about Charles Simeon Trust. I think that. Just foundations class is like $20 and it's an online course. So you can do online course. It's called First Principles. Excuse me. $24 First Principles for both men and women who are trying to minister to other women. And then there's other $24 courses in epistles, Gospels and Acts, Old Testament history, apocalyptic literature, a ton of other stuff. I'll send Josh the website to the SimeonTrust.org courses. Very helpful stuff because you need to know how to go about a certain theme, a certain way in which scripture is communicating to the people. If you don't understand that, you're not going to be able to apply it very well. Right. I'm going to put that in the show notes for y'all lovely people to take a look at as well, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Awesome. Love that. All right, Jack. Well, why don't you get us out of here, my man?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, appreciate your prayers. It meant a lot to me this last month. Been quite a wild ride through Hades, if I may say so myself. If you want to support us here on the Reformatory and making the local church central to the believer's life, you can follow us on the Dastardly Sociables, if you will. Yes, you can ask us a question, DM us episode idea. If you have comments, questions, concerns. It seems like most of you will probably want to know my story, which I will give you more links on, I guess. I might do a live. We're probably going to do an episode on what's happened to me and stuff like that. But if you want to follow us further, you can follow us on the Facebook, the Metaverse, if you will, the Zuck site, the Instagram. Goes well with chocolate and marshmallows and apparently heresy as well too. And then also you can follow us on the sociable, formerly known as Twitter X, all at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us further in our endeavors here.
That's right. Well, there are multiple ways you can support the Reformatory. You can head on over to YouTube if you want to watch this episode as well as listen to it. Head on over there and watch them. You can see all the Instagrams as well as listen to them. And it doesn't make them any better, but you know it's fun. Give our podcast a like and a rating on and a review on Apple and Spotify. That'd be really cool. Helps get the podcast out to more people and lets people know why you appreciate it. We would appreciate that. That'd be really cool. We have a Patreon, as you heard at the top of the app. You can follow Anthony and heading over there, giving of your $5 holla, $5 a month. That's all it is. And you get bonus eps every week. You get this episode early. You get a bunch of exclusive stuff over there. Whenever we have merch drops, our patrons get a first look and first chance to purchase. It's pretty cool. We like it over there. There's a lot of cool people as well. So if that sounds like something you would enjoy, we would ask that you head on over there, support the Reformatory, and if you choose to do so, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of this podcast. That is our pledge to you. Make sure to get on over to the socials and get in the giveaway. Like and share. Tag your friends. This giveaway is awesome. We're super thankful again for the Pactum and Broken Wharf for partnering with us for our 300th episode giveaway. 300 eps, Jack. And man, that's coming up. You listeners have stuck with us the whole way. That is so cool. Yeah. I'm really excited. I'm really excited about that. So we thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next ep of the Reformatory.